Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verses 24 to 28. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once, at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, our ascended mediator, dear fellow redeemed. This Sunday is kind of a unique Sunday in the church year. It comes 3 days after Ascension and 1 week before Pentecost. And so it's kind of a bridge between these two major festivals, Easter and Pentecost. So in the church, it can either be called the seventh Sunday of Easter or the Sunday after Pentecost, after Ascension. Well, since our sermon text from Hebrews 9 talks about Jesus' Ascension, we've entitled this Sunday, the Sunday after Ascension. So as we conclude this Easter season, we have seen the power of Christ's resurrection in the lives of his disciples by looking at some texts from the book of Acts. But we're also looking ahead to next Sunday, the festival of the Holy Spirit. But today, we're again looking back at Ascension and at Jesus' commission to his disciples, and to every single one of us. What was the last view the disciples had of their Savior as he was ascending? Wasn't it his pierced hands outstretched over them, blessing them as he lifted higher and higher and higher into the sky? I'm sure that picture remained in their hearts and minds all their lives. When sorrows and troubles came, they could just remember that picture again of Jesus blessing them as he ascended to heaven. When dangers and troubles came, they could remember he said, I'll be with you always. I'll never, never leave you. And they could think of him blessing them as he ascended up into heaven. He didn't ascend to some place way over there, far away, unawares and unconcerned. He was right with them, with his powerful, loving, living, forgiving hands lifted over them. So do we think about that? Do we think about our Savior's loving, pierced hands lifted over us as we go about our daily life? When we go through the trials of this pandemic, or maybe some serious illness, or loss of a Christian loved one? We go through times of feeling very lonely and alone, or maybe a boring, meaningless life. Do we think about our Savior's loving hands blessing us? Our text this morning describes Jesus as the high priest, who again outstretched his arms, not so much in blessing, but outstretched his arms so he could be nailed upon the cross as a sacrifice for you and for me. Our theme this morning is the demands of the new covenant fulfilled by Christ. And he did so in four different ways. He fulfilled the demands of the new covenant as our high priest, as our sacrifice, as our mediator, and as our judge. But before we go into those four parts, though, we need to find out what is the old and new covenant of God. Most of you know that covenant means a promise. It means a binding agreement. all of us here have been confirmed. In our confirmation, we made a promise to our triune God, confirming the promise that he made with us back when we were baptized. Unfortunately, when humans make promises, they often are broken. Look at how many marriage promises are broken, littering this land. Lives shattered, families ruined because that lifelong promise of marriage is destroyed, broken. Look how many confirmation vows and promises are broken by people who once professed faith in the Lord and Savior. I'll be faithful till death. And then they're tempted by worldly concerns, worldly cares, and they stray from the Lord. But when God makes a promise, he never breaks it. That is because God is the only faithful, only true, only unchanging one in this world. Therefore, at the beginning of time, what did God do? He made a promise to Adam and Eve, a promise that was so certain and sure that it was as if it already had been completed. The promise was the promise of his Son, the promise of a Savior who would destroy Satan's authority and power over mankind and set all of us free from sin, death, and hell. In order to keep that promise in the minds and eyes of the people, of his children of Israel, the Lord set up the office of the high priest with some sacrifices and offerings. In this way, they were to keep alive that Old Testament covenant among themselves, and the priesthood would then be a picture for them to remember that covenant that God made way back in the beginning of time and again repeated through Abraham, that he would send his Savior, his Son, a Savior, into this world. And they clung tightly to those promises, to that priesthood. The Lord set the people of the Levites, from the tribe of Levi, to be the servants in that temple. And they built this tabernacle as a picture of heaven, where God would dwell with them. In the middle of that tabernacle, there was a special room enclosed by thick curtains called the Holy of Holies, into which only one person could go in that room, and that is the high priest. And he could only go into that room with blood, the blood of the sacrifice bulls or goats, and sprinkle that blood upon the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant, first for his own sins, and then for the sins of the people. This is all a foreshadowing, a prophesying of the shedding of the blood of the Messiah who someday would come, which we know, of course, is Jesus, for full payment of all of our sins. The people, they'd be standing outside the proper temple, waiting for the priest to do these sacrifices, bringing the blood and offering it to God, because the high priest was the go-between, the mediator, the intercessor between them and their holy God. As you said, this was all done to keep alive in their hearts and minds the promise that God had given to them, the old covenant, that he would someday send the Savior, the Messiah, his Son, who had shed his blood for all people. Well, this offering of the high priest was done year after year after year. We read in Hebrews 10, verses 1 to 4, "For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually, year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshippers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins." And so Jesus comes as our high priest. We read in the first verse of our sermon text this morning, "For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us." On Ascension Day, Jesus arose into the very holy of holies itself, heaven itself, to stand before the face of God the Father, fulfilling his role as high priest, giving himself as an offering, as a sacrifice, the blood for the sins of the whole world. And so we see that Jesus fulfills the new covenant, not only as our priest, who always brought the blood of the Lamb into the Holy of Holies, but also as the sacrifice, the very one who gave his shed blood to pay for the sins of all people. And notice in that verse, there's two little words that can easily be forgotten or not looked at very carefully. The little words, "for us." For us. That's the gospel. Jesus for us. Not everyone for himself. Everything Christ did as a sacrifice was for us. All that he gave was for us. His shed blood, his suffering, his resurrection, his ascension was for us. He offered the sacrifice for us. Think of the communion hymn we sing once in a while that has those words, "Offered was he for greatest and for least, himself the victim and himself the priest." So how often do you have to do this? We read in our text, "Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Jesus fulfilled that old covenant once. Once for all time, once for all people. And what happened to our sins? The author of Hebrews says they have been put away. That's the Greek word that says they have been annulled, completely abolished. Scripture says also they've been there as far apart as the east is from the west, cast in the depths of the sea, and God remembers them no more. But now that Christ has entered into the Holy of Holies itself, heaven, what's he doing? He's fulfilling another thing the Holy Spirit, the high priest did, not just offering sacrifices, he's also being our mediator. He stands before God our Father, and he pleads our case. He stands before him, showing his pierced hands, pierced feet, and his pierced side, and saying, "I sacrifice myself for all of mankind, and now I'm pleading their cause. I'm bringing their prayers to you, Heavenly Father, for you to hear them and to answer them." Jesus is our mediator who appeased God's wrath and brought peace between us and our holy, perfect Father. Three times in this book of Hebrews, it is called the mediator of the new covenant. We'll read those verses. "But now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which is established on better promises." And again, "And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant, by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance." And a third time, "To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel." But there's one more position that Jesus would have to fill in order to meet the demands of this new covenant. And that's the position of being the judge. We read in the last two verses of our text, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, He will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. Even as every single person's destiny is, no matter how famous, rich, or powerful they are, every single person's destiny is to die once and then face the judgment. So also Jesus died once and then rose from the dead and ascended on high. This same high priest and mediator and sacrifice is also our judge. From this destiny of death and standing before God on Judgment Day, nobody can escape. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, and everybody, every single soul ever conceived, even if they never lived a moment out of the womb, will all be gathered before Jesus as judge of all to stand before him for judgment. Is that scary? Not for the child of God. Not for the believer in Christ. Not for the one who eagerly looks forward to Jesus come and to say to us, I've taken away your sins. I've washed you clean of all your sins. You've been declared not guilty, righteous in my Father's sight. In that day, we'll be taken away from this veil of tears, from this land of sorrow, sickness and viruses, peril, pain, death, disasters, temptation, trials, and we'll be lifted up and we'll ascend on high to live with the Lord and praise his name throughout all eternity. May this ever be our hope in our expectation, to look forward eagerly to the glorious return of our high priest, of our mediator, of our sacrifice, and of our judge, who again will lift up his arms and say to us in a great welcome, come, blessed are my fathers, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Amen. The peace of God, which passes understanding, will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.